You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. If you will, go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians 5. I kind of want to talk a little bit more about what I ministered on just a while back about being imitators of God, and then we took out different points or aspects about how you can be an imitator of God, and that was to think like God thinks. And you know, obviously you want to have the mind of Christ, you want to think like God, you want to think the thoughts of God, and you want to cast down imaginations. I'm just doing a real quick review here. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So now, obviously, if you're getting rid of everything that's against the knowledge of God, then you have everything that's with the knowledge of God in your head. So you want to think like God thinks. You want to talk like God talks. And this is not, you know, just like the Pharisees may have mentioned too, whenever they were with Jesus. You know, this isn't blasphemy. We're not saying that we're God. But God wants us to be like Him. He wants us to shine His light. He wants us to be an example of Him to the world. Amen. And we are the only... not saying it's in a blasphemous way, we're the only God people will ever see sometimes. We're the only reflection or the image of God that people will see. And so, you know, we've got to live our lives in a manner that reflects the true image of God as Christians. That's our duty. So that's my duty. And so anyway, we kind of went over that a little bit. We want to talk like God talks. Say what God says. Say about you what God says about you. You want to say that you're an overcomer. You want to say that you're more than a conqueror. You want to say that you're above only and not beneath. You want to say that you're victorious, and that you've got the victory, and that you are healed, and that you have peace, and you have joy. And that's what God would say about you. God would say, "You're my child, and I'll meet your needs and take care of you, and I'll prosper you. And my children are joyful. My children have peace. My children have comfort. They don't have depression. They don't have, you know, worry and all that stuff. Don't worry." God would say, "Don't worry." He would say, "Don't worry about it. Just let me handle it. Let me take care of it." So, you know, say the things that God would say. Say the Scripture. Say the Word. You know, and we didn't go over it as much. And I just kind of mentioned it. But I tell you what, hold your place in Ephesians. Again, this is quick review time. Hold your place in Ephesians. Run over to John, the first chapter. John 1. What I want to get to tonight, I will tell you this ahead of time. What I want to get to tonight is acting like God wants you to act. So we'll get to that in a minute. So that was the third one. Think like God thinks. Say the things that God would say, and then act like God. Do the things that God would have you to do in life. And in first chapter of John, and we have the story in the first chapter here, we see a story about John the Baptist. And he was questioned about who he is, who he was. And in the first chapter it says, starting the 21st verse, and it says, "They asked him, 'What then are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' And 22nd verse, they said to him, 'Who are you that we may give an answer for those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?'" And that's important. You know, the first message I got to minister along these lines was, "What are you saying?" And that's very important. What are you saying? What are you saying about the circumstances? What are you saying about your life? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your kids? What are you saying about your parents? You know, it's important what you're saying, because what you're speaking out is, you know, what you confess is going to start taking place. Whether it's good or bad, you're going to confess unto doubt and unbelief and to failure, or you're going to confess unto, you know, faith and success and the answer, you know. And that's, you know, if you're always down and you're always negative, most of the time those people have a lot of down and negative things happen to them all the time, if you notice. People that are up, people that are talking positive, people that are talking success, those people are usually successful. And they're having a lot of good things happen to them all the time, amen? And so, you know, it's important what you say about yourself. And so he says in verse 23, he said, "I am." Everybody say, "I am." And after that, you need to fill in the blank with what the Scripture says about you. And that's what he did. He said, "I am. the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. See, God had already said that there's going to be John the Baptist, and he's going to go and he's going to make the way for Jesus to come. He's going to announce and pronounce the, you know, Jesus coming, and he's going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And so he said about himself what the scripture said about him. That's what he said he was. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And he did prepare the way for Jesus. Said that there is one that comes after me who was preferred before me because he was before me. Obviously, Jesus was the Word. He was in the beginning with God, so he was before John the Baptist. But John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus. And so, obviously, you know, he came after Jesus in the sense of birth. He says he came after me, birth-wise. He was preferred before me, and he was before me, because he was before me. And so you see, that's what he was talking about. And talking about Jesus here, now let's look over in Luke. Again, keep holding your place in Ephesians. We'll get there. It won't take long. Luke, the 4th chapter. Obviously, we've got an example of John the Baptist saying about, you know, himself, what the Scripture says. And in Luke 4, verse 17, actually starting 16, so he came to Nazareth, talking about Jesus. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, which, follow along here, should be your custom as well, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was Jesus' custom. Jesus was a churchgoer. Everybody say, churchgoer. Church. Say, I am. A churchgoer. Say, I am. Excited to be here. All right. Say, I am. Awake. All right. Just y'all, just seem like y'all are almost like you're almost falling asleep out there. I want to try to wake you up. Keep going here. It says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And that's another good nugget Dad brings out. You need to find the place where it's written about you. You know, I think this has happened. Dad says it might have happened to him just, you know, twice in life, maybe. You know, he went to go study one time, and he kind of just, not intentionally, but, you know, he kind of just put his Bible out there, and it opened up to a scripture, you know, and that was a scripture. He was like, wow, you know, and he started studying on that. Might have happened twice. You don't go to the Bible and say, okay, God, show me what you want me to see today. Right there. Okay. No, that's not what you do. You need to find it. You need to search it out. You need to diligently look for the place where it's written about you in God's Word. Amen. You know, we have a part to play. You know, when it's not, God's not just giving handouts. He wants you to believe. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to ask. He wants you to play your part. He wants you to look and study the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. So, you know, we want to find where the place is that's written about us. And because of that example, I lost my place. So now I have to find it. It says that he found the place where it was written about him. And where it was written, in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then He closed the book and gave it back to the tenant, sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. He began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You know, that's a good point, too. And obviously, I'm trying to get to the main message here, but we're still kind of just catching up, so you know where we're going. That's a good thing, too, to say or to believe or a statement of faith to make. Whenever you confess that you're healed, or you quote the scriptures regarding healing, when you quote the scriptures regarding peace, you know, or blessings in your life, you know, one thing that would be really good to say would be, and when you get done, you thank God for it happening, you can actually say, today, this scripture is fulfilled in my ears, or in my hearing, or in, you know, you could say that, just what he said. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's a good statement of faith. When you quote the scripture, whenever you say something about you know, yourself that's in line with God's Word, and you know it's a scripture you pulled out, something that you found where it was written, whenever you get to that point of, you know, you prayer and you've made the statement of faith, you thank God for it happened, you can say, you know what, today that scripture is fulfilled in my life. That's a good statement of faith, isn't it? It's a good nugget there. So anyway, but Jesus, the main point here, said what the Bible said about Him. Even Jesus did it. You know, so who are we? We're supposed to be like Jesus, supposed to act like Jesus, act like, you know, be imitators of God. So we want to imitate the best imitation of God, which was Jesus, who was God. And so we can do the same thing that He did in our lives, just like He did. John did the same thing, and we have other examples of people who said Jesus' words or said the scripture, you know, over their lives. Okay, now, back to Ephesians. We went over this again. We'll kind of go over this real quickly here. Verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. In the King James it says followers, and this is imitators, same, you know, it's the same word. We actually, the word is mimetai, it's mimic or to, you know, to act like, or we get the word, probably, you know, the base word of it, we get mime, you know, and mime acts like something else or acts like somebody else. And then also, there's an imitation, you know, there's imitari, there's the other forms of the word, but all, you know, the same thing. It's being imitators is to look like, to act like, to represent, to be a reflection of God. And that's what we're supposed to do. Be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. God wants us to act like Him. And that's the main theme through the two messages before that we got to minister. And He wants you to be like Him. He wants you to act like Him and talk like Him. And obviously, Jesus' life, whenever He was on the earth, He did just that. Oftentimes you hear Him say, you know, hey, look, I'm not doing this of my own will. I'm doing what, you know, God told me to do. I'm doing what I've seen my Father do. In fact, we'll get to a scripture that like that in just a second. But, you know, He says, there's a song, what song is it that we're singing now? It says, where you go, I go, I think. You know, it says, Jesus only did what He saw the Father do. He only spoke, you know, what he heard you say, what the God, you know, talking about God, what, you know, He heard God say. He would only move where He was felt like He was led by God. That's the words of this song. And that's the way we should be. Where God leads us, we should go. When God tells us or instills in us something to speak out or say, we should say. You know, whenever He tells us to go do this and do that, we should do it. You know, how many of you... I know people, you've probably heard this before. I know people have done this over the years, and I have, you know, been blessed to be able to do this before too. How many of you have been in the grocery line before and you see somebody that, you know, trying to dig for money to pay for a little bit of groceries they have, and you pay for the groceries? Not much, I mean, but you know, you help them out, pay for the groceries. Not tooting my horn, but I've been able to do that. I've been in a position of being blessed that I could do that one time. Awesome. It's an awesome feeling to help somebody like that. And you know, when you have the inclination to do something like that, to help, to pray for somebody, you know, I've had the, you know, a draw towards somebody and, you know, talking to them and you know, they're down and out, you know, mully grubs, talking down in unbelief, you know, something I just really don't like to hear. And I'll say, whoa, wait a second, you know, can we pray for you? You know, you mind if I pray? Or somebody called, you know, on the phone here at the church, and they're, you know, they're asking for help or whatever. We get a lot of calls about, you know, people needing help, and we're not always able to help, but sometimes we are, but we always offer to, you know, if they're asking for prayer or whatever, may we pray for them? Sometimes they don't ask for prayer, and you just say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, you'll feel led to do that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost, you know, speaking through you. Or, you know, it's God drawing you to do that. That's not the devil. You know, a lot of times you'll be thinking to yourself, you know, is that God? No, is that just me? You know, well, it's never the devil. And it's a good thing. Everybody say it's a good thing. So you might as well do it. If you can do it, do it. I mean, it'd be a blessing to somebody. You never know how much it means to people just a little, you know, if you're able to help on the groceries or pray for them or, you know, assist somebody that's doing something, help them out. You just never know what they're going through and how much that one moment can mean to them. It can be a breaking point in their life. It can be a whole turnaround in their life and their attitude. And I mean, so you know, take advantage of those opportunities. And so, you know, that's what we're talking about here, being imitators of God. And so I tell you what, let's turn over to John. We're going to spend a little time in the book of John. Let's turn to John 5. And I think we mentioned this scripture as well. Again, just kind of building a little foundation for this. In chapter 5, verse... We'll just start in verse 19. Verse 18. Let's back up just a little bit. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he had mentioned here before, verse 17, he says, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." And the Jews, you know, they're getting all mad because he's calling, you know, God his Father. And they say, in verse 18, it says, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath," you know, he healed somebody on the Sabbath. Lord forbid. "But also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Making himself equal with God. And Jesus answered and said to them, verse 19, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do." In other words, this is not me doing all this. I see the Father doing this, and so that's what I do. Okay? "For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." You know, it's important. You're talking about being imitators of God, and it mentions as dear children. How many have kiddos or have had kiddos? You know, maybe they're grown now, but how many of you have had kiddos, and your kiddos, when they're little, they can't talk? Does anybody's kids, you know, not be able to talk whenever they're little? I mean, none of mine came out talking. I mean, that, you know. Robert's had them where they didn't talk. You know, they have to learn how to talk. And so they hear mom and dad, and I'm going to might step on a couple toes here, but they hear mom and dad talking to them, and sometimes you wonder why babies talk like, you know, "Hey, baby, I can see your mama, I see your mama, mama." You know, and the baby goes, "Mama, mama, mama." You know, a lot of times they're just imitating what you're saying, even though you're trying to get them to say mama or mother or father. But, you know, instead you say, "Oh, they said da. You can say da da. Da 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 da." And they say da da. Da 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 da. Da da. Yeah, they don't say daddy right off the bat because you don't teach them daddy. You teach them da da. And so, you know, and then you tell them, "You want your baba? You want your baba? You want your little baba? You want tinky tink? You want tinky tink?" And they grow up and they're 2 years old and they're saying, "I'm tinky tink, dad." You know, but that's because that's what we taught them to say. We didn't train them, you know, because when they're little, you know, it's just so cute, little cute thing, saying little drinky drink. You know, well, later, it's not drinky drink. It's just drink, okay? It's drink. And drinky drink, drink. Say drink. So you have to retrain them. But they just learn what you teach them. Isn't that right? Am I the only one that's had kids do that? I know mine, you know, even they have little Spanish names because, you know, Sissy will call, you know, passies or the bottle, teta, you know, tetas in the bottle. Anyway, they still, you know, say those things. But they learn that from us. They only do what they see us do. They only repeat the things they hear us say. And so we have to, just like Jesus, he learned from the Father. He saw that the Father was a good God and that he helped people and he blessed people and he would heal people. He would do things for people. And so he came down on earth and he just did what the Father taught him to do. We have to have somebody to learn from. It's a very good analogy or example here too. We need to spend time with our Father God so that we know him, so that he can teach us, so that we can learn what to do, so we can learn the way he would act or react to a situation, the way he would reach out to somebody. I promise you, if you spent more time with God, you would probably have a little more of an outreach ministry. You know what I mean? You wouldn't hold back as much. You wouldn't, you know, sit, oh, I just can't do that. You know, God would just walk over and just, let me pray for you. You know, I could just see. And Jesus, he wasn't timid. He was bold. You know, he'd walk right in the middle of a crowd, you know, and start healing people. I mean, he didn't hold back. And I think if we would spend more time with God, just, you know, from this aspect, we'd probably be a little more bold ourselves. The boldness comes, though, too, from the knowledge that we get or the knowledge that we gain. The more you know how God will react, you obviously would have more confidence in acting that way yourself. A lot of times we're not real confident because, well, is that God? Should I do that? You know, ooh, I hate to miss that one. I don't know. Well, if you've been around God long enough, you ought to know right off the bat, yeah, that's God. Go do it, you know. So we got to spend time with him. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of sending Cassidy's testimony down to Dodie Osteen, and I wrote her a little letter, you know, about, you know, the testimony, and then I shared the whole thing with her, and which is really neat for me to do. And I, you know, and I mentioned there too about how that I appreciate her example and Brother John Osteen's example when we were going to Lakewood there. Dad had just gotten saved, and he needed a pastor, a spiritual father per se, you know, a leader to teach him the Word of God, and teach him how to study and get in the Word of God and to believe and to confess and do all those things. Dad needed that type of person in the natural. He needed a spiritual father like that. And just like, you know, we need a pastor to be a spiritual father to us and a leader and a guide to us. And so, you know, because of that example, because of what John Osteen did while we were there those years, Dad is you know, you hear what Terry Mize and some other people had said about Dad and Mom were in a meeting. I don't know if they mentioned this or not when they got back. But Mom and Dad went over to a meeting, heard Terry Mize. Terry Mize got up and just bragged and bragged on Dad and said that Dad was the closest thing to John Osteen that you would ever see. That's a good testimony. You know, that's awesome. Because Dad teaches the Word uncompromised. He teaches the Word of God. He's bold about it. And he's, you know, he'll confess, and you're going to believe, and you're going to get healed. And if you got a devil, he'll cast the devil out of you. You know, he's gone all over the world. He's preached the gospel to, you know, in India and Guatemala and Mexico and Wales and Australia. I mean, in these places, he's prayed for people and had miraculous things take place. You know, ears pop open. You know, just all kinds of stuff. I mean, just numerous things happened to him. Dad knows who he is in Christ, and he spent time with his father, and he spent time in the Word, and he says and he thinks like God thinks, and so he acts like God would act on the earth. You know, and obviously nobody's perfect. I'm not saying that Dad is you know, the next greatest thing to Jesus, but I think he's pretty close. But anyway, so Dad, if you're listening, you know, this is Brownie Boys. No, but I think Dad's pretty great. And you know, I want to be like my dad, but I want to be like my dad because he's like God. You know, he's like Jesus. And so I want to do the things that, you know, would be a representation of Jesus and a representation of God. And so we see that here, that Jesus didn't do anything of himself, but only what he saw the Father do. And so, you know, I want to bring out something too as well. Let's turn over to John, the 9th chapter. Like I said, we'd probably stay here in John for just a little bit. And I'll try to get you out here pretty soon. Won't keep you too long. There's an interesting point, and we'll get to this in just a minute, about all the things that Jesus did while he was on the earth. And we've got examples of, you know, where he fed the multitudes, and among, you know, obviously other miracles took place, you know, healings and you know, the lame walking and the blind seeing and deaf ears, you know, opening up, and you know, demons being cast out of, you know, devils being cast out of people. I mean, there's all kinds of things that Jesus did. But everything that he did obviously was good. And we know in Acts 10:38 it says that, you know, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so, you know, Jesus went about doing good. That's what his ministry was to do good. That's what our ministry should be, to do good. You know, everything we should do, our actions should be a representation of good, you know, on this earth. And so when Jesus did all these things, he was working. He had a job. He had a mission that God had put him on while he was on this earth. And ultimately, you know, the last thing that he had to do, and part of his job, was that he had to die for us. He bore stripes on his back, and he died and shed his blood, and so that we could stripes for our healing, and shed his blood and died so that we could go to heaven, so our sins could be forgiven. And so, you know, those are the things that God had, or Jesus had to do. You know, and he said, you know, it is finished. At one point, he said, it is finished, before he died. And then we'll get to another part here where he said that his work was completed, his work was done. And I just have something to think about here for a minute. If Jesus was the image of God, and Jesus obviously was, he's 100% God, he's 100% man, but he did everything that God told him to do while he was on the earth. And I'm getting to a point here. He did everything that God told him to do on the earth, and then he got to a point and said that his work was completed. What he had to do here on the earth was completed and finished. And then, he, you know, in another instance, he said, it is finished. He did everything he was supposed to do while he was on the earth. He represented God in every aspect that God, you know, had asked him to do, I guess, you know. He healed all these people. He did all these good things. You know, there's a doctrine or a belief that's just really crept into churches about how God's behind bad things. Well, if Jesus is the best representation we have of God, and he completed his work, and everything that he did in the Bible was a good thing, wouldn't you be able to rule out anything bad happening being from God just from that? You know, just a different angle to look at it from. God said, Jesus, I want you to go down there. I want you to represent me in every way. You go down to earth and you do all this stuff. And he goes down to earth and he heals the sick and he raises the dead and he casts out devils and he does all these things. Feeds the 5,000 and then several thousand more in another instance. He does all these good things. And then he says, you know what? Man, I've done all this stuff and my work here is done. He's done everything he's supposed to do. Did he do a bad thing? You know, other than giving the Pharisees a headache, Dad says. He didn't do anything bad, did he? So, obviously, we know this in this church. I mean, we've been taught very well here in this church. God is not behind anything evil that takes place. You know, he didn't kill somebody so he can raise them from the dead. You know, I want to show off and raise somebody from the dead. Let's just, you know, we'll just get this guy over here to have, you know, some car wreck so I can raise him from the dead. Well, God's not going around doing evil things and bad things and then doing good things over here. And, of course, we have examples in the Bible where it talks about how the house divided against itself can't stand. God can't be evil and good all at the same time. And so, anyway, I just thought that was an interesting, you know, angle to look at it. Jesus' work was complete here. He did everything he was supposed to do, and he did all good stuff. Isn't that good? So while we're on the earth, we should be doing all good stuff. Amen. We want to represent God in a manner that is good. All the things that he did, we should do, and there were good things. Here in John 9, it says, in the fourth verse, it says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. In verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We must work the works of God while we're here. You know, Brother John Osteen used to say all the time, heaven's high, hell is hot, and we got to get on with the business of living. We got to get on the business of God while we're here on this earth. You know, time is short. We don't have much time to get things done. You know, our time is limited here. So we need to make every day, you know, we need to set a goal every day that we're going to do as much as we can for God that day. And then the next day we wake up, we say, okay, I'm going to do as much as I can for God today. You know, and don't pass up the opportunities to be a blessing to somebody. Don't pass up an opportunity to pray for somebody. You know, and if you're financially able to help somebody, don't pass up an opportunity to help somebody financially. The blessings that you get back from that are just huge. They're enormous. They're exponential. I mean, it's the most awesome feeling. And then God will not hold back blessing from you for blessing other people. He's going to see, Dr. Burroughs mentioned earlier about, you know, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. And mentioned how we're like a pond, you know, we're, you know, and I think of us too, like, you know, like an oracle or a vessel. But we don't just hold stuff. We don't have a cap or lid on top of us where we don't ever let anything out and nothing in. We're like a tea pitcher, or, you know, you get tea comes in and tea goes out, and then you put more tea in and more tea comes out, and you're blessing people with tea all the time. You know, it's filling you with, you want some more tea? I give you some more tea. I got some tea right here. Tea, tea, tea. And then, you know, you get more tea put in, and you just, it's constantly flowing through. We should be like that. We should be like a vessel, just like that. We get filled up. We come in here on Wednesdays and we get filled up, and we read our Bibles throughout the week and we get filled up, and the whole time we're out in the world and at our jobs and at home even, we're blessing. We're pouring out. We're helping this. We're doing that, you know. And so we should be that way. We should be blessed in such a way that we're overflowing. And we have to get in a position of receiving. We have to come to church and we have to receive from the Word of God as well as studying ourselves at, you know, by ourselves at home, so that we can have something to draw out of when it comes time for, you know, to pour out. You know, when you know this heart inside of us is like a big old well. We've got to keep things in there, the good things in, so when it's time to draw stuff out, that good comes out. We've got something to draw out to give to other people, to help with other people. And so anyway, you know, that's the way God wants us to be too. If He sees you pouring out and blessing other people, then He wants to keep you full. You know, He wants to keep you blessed. And that's a, you know, our church is a perfect example of that as well. We give and we give and we give. And because of that, God blesses the church. And, you know, we have people that just give to us, you know, give to our church. And so, you know, that's a, obviously a good example of that as well. But here it says in verse 5, that as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Everybody say, I'm the light of the world. Amen, amen. I'm the light of the world too. And while we're here, obviously what he's saying is, while we're here, we've got to do the works. I've got to be about my Father's business. I've got to keep doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing on the earth. And like I said, you know, that includes healings and miracles and just, you know, and loving on people. Just loving people and being a blessing to people, being an encouragement to people. And so, you know, those are things that we need to do while we're here. Let's turn over to, let's turn to John, let's go to John 14. And you know, you may say to yourselves, well, I just don't know if I'm, you know, I'm not able to do all that. I don't know if I can do that and speak all those things, say all those things, and, you know, I'm embarrassed. I'm kind of timid, and I don't want to get out there and do things like that. But, you know, it's not you that does all the stuff that actually does the works. You're just a vessel. How many know every time mom gets up here, you know, she says, we're going to pray for somebody and here, lay hands on them, they're going to be healed. Who's the healer?
Jesus.
We're not the healers, but we're the one that has to, you know, do the action. We're told, lay hands on the sick, pray for them, lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. Jesus is going to heal them. We don't have to worry about making sure they get healed. We just do our part. We believe God's going to do it. They're going to get healed. You know, never be afraid to lay hands on somebody. Never be afraid to pray for somebody. You know, it's not you. It's God that does it. So you don't have to worry. Does God ever fail? We may miss it. You know, we may not, you know, believe right or believe all the way through. You know, we're not perfect, but God never fails. And I promise you that if you don't lay hands on them and you don't pray for them, they're not going to get healed right then. You know, that's not going to happen. And so we had our last baseball game, Reese's last baseball game, and we had a situation where the catcher, Reese is playing third, and the catcher throws the ball to third base because the guy was stealing to third, and the catcher threw the ball way wide. I mean, it was almost to the shortstop, and went right between shortstop and third, and the outfielder got the ball. And the outfielder, the guy, because the ball went past third, well, the guy that was running to third, he just turned and kept on running to home because the ball just went right past him, you know, and it's all the way in the outfield. And so the outfielder, he grabs the ball, and he picks it up, and he sees the guy running to home, and he throws it to Reese. And Reese gets the ball, and he's like, and he turns around, and it's too late. You know, the guy's already at home. Reese is like, you know, why'd you do that? And I asked the guy when he got in the dugout, I said, why didn't you throw the ball to home? At least, you know, try to throw it to home. He goes, well, I didn't think I could make it to home before that guy got there, you know, because I didn't think I could throw that far. And I said, he was going to score anyway. You might as well try. You know, give it a hurl. Just, you know, rear back and throw as hard as you can. You might get him out. You know, you might as well try. Same thing happens the very next inning. The guy overthrows Reese on a pickoff, and this time he grabs the ball, and boy, he chunks it. Didn't get the guy out, but he got real close. But that's what I was trying to get the point to. He's got to at least try, or it will never happen. The guy will never get out if he doesn't throw the ball. Well, some people, you know, they don't, oh, man, I can't do that. I can't lay hands on them, pray for them. I'm so embarrassed. And what if they don't get healed? Well, they're not going to get healed if you don't lay your hands on them. So lay your hands on them. Pray. It's God that does the work anyway. It's not you. You just have to be obedient to stretch forth your hand and lay your hands on them and pray for them. Amen? And I promise you that you're going to have a greater percentage of people get healed when you start laying your hands on them than if you don't. Amen? We got that? Everybody cool with that? Okay. So, it says here in John 14, I tell you what, let's jump down to verse 10, I guess. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. That's what we're just talking about. The Father does the works inside of him. And it goes on. I tell you, there's a good little point here that I want to bring out real quick. You know, we'll read down to it real fast. Read, not comment. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You know, they were having a problem believing, you know, show us the Father. It's like, look, I'm the Father. The Father and I are one. If you see me, you see the Father. You know, if you're seeing, look, if you can't believe that I'm the Father by me telling you that I'm the Father, believe me for the sake of these works that I'm doing. If you not see these people getting healed and they're being, you know, delivered and set free and they're being raised from the dead. That's not me. That's the Father. He's the one doing the works. Can you not see the Father in all that? You know, basically, you know, do not see the Father through me. And so anyway, he says, believe, you know, for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do. Oh, this is good. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Everybody say, I'm a believer. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. How many know who that helper is? Holy Spirit. Dad's been teaching on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so he's going to give us another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know, and I tell you what, jump over to verse 26. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Isn't that good? So how many of you believers out there have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing you? Amen? So, you know, again, God, Jesus is saying that, you know, the works that I do, you're going to do the same thing because you believe in me. And as long as we're believers and we're Christians, and, you know, we can do that. We can do the same things that Jesus did. And, you know, we've got the great commissions that you see in the end of all the chapters. You know, Mark 16, Matthew 28. You know, it's going to all the world, preach the gospel, and list all the things you should do. And then in addition to those, you know, we're told to love. We're told to help and to bless and all those things. Those are things that God would do if he was here. And if he's not, and you are, and you're a vessel of his, and you're a child of his, and he's inside of you, and he wants to show through you to people, so you have to do those things. Amen? I tell you what, just for a reference, if you want to just write this down when we talked about this, in John 17, verse 4 is where it says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which has you have given me to do. So there you are. Jesus did the work, and there was nothing bad in his work. Amen. Amen. So anyway, I want to leave you with that, and we'll close out. But, you know, do the things that the actions. We want to act like God. We want to think like God, speak like God, and act like God on the earth. And all these things that Jesus did on the earth, you know, he's given us the authority to do. In fact, he's told us, he commanded us to go into all the world and do these things. And so, you know, that's not only just a, not only have we been given the authority, but we've been given the commandment to do them. We shouldn't hold back. We should study out the Word, get some confidence by studying the Word and getting close to God and learning from God and seeing how God does certain things. Cole, my middle son, he's a ham, but he's great at imitating, either through voice impersonations, too as well, and then just he just acts. But man, he'll sit and he'll watch a movie, a couple of times. He's really into it. He's studying, and then he'll after the movie's over, then he'll start on the lines, and he'll start acting like the characters or whatever. But he spends time. He watches it, You know, we need to be like that. We need to spend time with God and just watch, just sit at his feet and just watch what he would do. Find out, look in here, read about him, read about all the stuff that he did. And then, we can then, by having that background, actors do it all the time. If you have an actor that's going to play a part and it's along the basis of a true story or based on a true story, you know what they do? Generally, they'll go and they'll interview or they'll talk with the person that they're acting the part for. They may even have that person come on the set with them. You may have seen that happen before. I forget which movie it was. I think it was a sports movie, and it was a coach that was the one guy, might have been Denzel Washington, I'm not sure, but Denzel Washington was playing the part of some coach, and maybe Remember the Titans. I can't remember which movie it was, but just to give an example. Well, they had the coach on the scene with them while they're acting. And is this how you would do it? Yeah, it's exactly the way I would have done it. Now, I wouldn't have said it that way. I'd have said it like this. That he was right there with them so they could know they could act just like this guy. Man, they'd go out to eat when Denzel would spend time with this guy so he would learn his mannerisms, his speech, the way he would talk and the way he would act. And so, that's what we have to do with God. We got to take God out to dinner with us. We got to spend some time with him. We got to have conversations with God. We need to pray to God all the time. We need to worship him and praise him, talk about how good he is, but then we also need to just listen sometimes too. And just hear what God has to say to you. And obviously, again, get in his word, find out, what the scripture says, and then go do it. Amen.